you can sing that, can't you? Good word.
My hope and prayer for you and for me.
1 Peter chapter 3. As you know, we have been looking at what Peter said was the purpose of him writing this, to show the true grace of God wherein you stand. Sovereign, saving grace of God, electing grace, redeeming grace, keeping grace, eternal grace, gift of his righteousness, the gift of redeeming blood, grace, by grace you say, through faith, and that's not of yourself, even that's the gift of God, by grace. I love the sound of the word, don't you? True grace. Brother Mac read from Colossians 1 tonight, and he said, after you heard the word of the gospel, the true gospel of God's grace. And we've been talking about, Peter's been talking about this grace, how we need grace for everything. And we need to be exhorted. Grace needs to be exhibited to adorn the doctrine of God's grace. We need grace through trials, grace to endure, grace to submit, be in subjection that he told us to be, to all. Grace for wives to be in subjection to their husbands, for husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Grace, 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 grace. And tonight, he's writing to us about suffering grace. Grace that is needed to suffer persecution or suffer for the cause of Christ. It takes great grace, doesn't it? Great grace. It's fitting that Peter wrote this, Simon Peter. It's the first epistle, I remind you, the very first epistle that was written to all the churches. And Simon Peter wrote it. And he was glad that he was able to do so. He started out by saying we're elect. And he started out by saying we're kept by the power of God. Peter said, I know this. I know this better than anybody by experience. I was in a boat one day. I wasn't interested in God. Wasn't interested in Christ. Wasn't seeking the Lord. But the Lord came and sought me. He chose me. I was one of his elect because he called me by his grace, by his power, by his voice. He called me. Me and Philip and Andrew and James and John. And he called us all by his gospel. And he said, we're kept by the power of God. We followed him for 3.5 years. And we know by experience that he kept us every day, every way. And up to this point, he said, my life has been kept. Peter has been thrown in jail twice for preaching the gospel. He said, oh, we're kept by the power of God. And Peter, it's fitting that Simon Peter wrote this about confessing the Lord and encouraging us, emboldening us, or trying to give us courage to confess him and suffer for his cause, because Peter denied him, remember? Peter knows from experience how we're cowards by nature. And Peter knew by experience what the shame it is to deny the Lord. He went out and wept bitterly. Remember that? The Lord looked at him after he denied him, not once, not twice, but 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Well, the Lord called him back. Remember that? Sitting by the fire. Peter, do you love me? Oh, Lord, yes, I do. You know I love you. He said, go feed my sheep. He sent him out. And now the Lord has given him grace, has given him courage, and he's gone out. And Peter wrote this to us. The Lord had him write this. Peter knows. And this is not to discourage us. Every one of us that read this will be discouraged. We will be ashamed. I am ashamed. I've denied him since I've been a believer. And will deny him again. By my silence, by my cowardice at times, None of us want a confrontation. None of us like strife. None of us like to be want to be hated, or do we? We don't want that. We don't want this persecution. But our Lord said, "You shall be." And it's a mark, it's an evidence of the truth. Only those who tell the truth are persecuted. Only those who tell the truth are an offense to this world, to the people of this world, an offense. When actually we're the best friend the world could ever have. Look at it. 1 Peter 3. He said, remember in verse 13, he said, "Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good?" Remember, he exhorts us to not render evil for evil, but have compassion and not railing for railing. And you're called to be a blessing, not a curse, but be a blessing. And refrain your tongue from evil and your lips. Don't speak guile. Speak the truth. Eschew evil. Do good. Seek peace. Pursue it. Where did he get all this? Got it from the Lord. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Our Lord said, don't requite evil with evil. Turn the other cheek, didn't he? And Peter reminded us that when the Lord, and this is the motive, our Lord is the motive for everything. This is how Peter writes to us. The motive for all of this is in confessing Christ is he wasn't ashamed to call us brothers. For the joy set before him endured the cross. He who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Why? Why do you endure all that? For us. That's the motive, isn't it? That's the motive. And he said Christ was reviled. Reviled not again. He was, when he suffered. Chapter 2. We've got to read that again. It says verse 23. When he suffered. For righteousness' sake, didn't he? He threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Now remember, they did not kill our Lord for good works. You remember that? He stood one day and said, "For what good work do you stone me?" And they said, "We're not stoning you for a good work. Because of what you said. We don't like what you said. I just told you the truth. For the glory of God, for your salvation." So he committed himself. So verse 24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree." My. "That we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Old Peter wrote this, didn't he? Simon Peter. And he'd had a few stripes by now, Simon Peter. Been beaten. And he was so happy that he was able to endure it. Because why? Oh, by whose stripes? Peter said, "By his stripes I am healed." So, in chapter 3, verse 14. "But now, nobody... few will harm you if you be followers of that which is good and do that which is right. But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you." Blessed, that's what the word means. "And don't be afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." Read on. "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience. That whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation or life, conduct, and speech in Christ." So he says, if you suffer for righteousness' sake. What righteousness? A little later here he's going to talk about Noah. He's going to use Noah as an example. And Noah, it says, Peter wrote, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Who's righteous now? You're not going to suffer for righteousness' sake by talking about man being doing good works. You will suffer for righteousness' sake if you say all our righteousness are filthy rags. That the only righteousness whereby God will accept us, the only righteousness whereby we can be accepted of God and received into God's holy heaven, is the righteousness of another, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Righteousness imputed to us. That it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but we're saved according to His mercy through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus alone. His righteousness imputed us, and His blood shed for the remission of our sin. That is salvation completely, wholly. That's it. Not one thing we can do, we do, will commend us to God. Nothing we have ever done or ever will do will commend us to God. No merit in anything we do. No. Now, if you say that, you will be persecuted. You may. And I've gone to church all these years. And I have given my body to be burned. And I've done all these. I've talked to people like this, who have literally gotten up in arms at me, and I've seen their veins pop out on their neck, sweet little old women, and look at me with such anger and hatred in their face, like, you mean to tell me that nothing I've ever done accounts for anything? That's right. Because if it does, Christ didn't need to come and die. If righteousness come by the law, this is how serious it is. If righteousness can be had by us doing anything, being accepted of God by us doing anything, Christ died in vain. Why did Christ die? Why did He come? He came to be made a curse under the law. He came to deliver us from the curse. He came to be made a sin payer. He came to be made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, I've just already gone through the I was going to tell all this when it talks about the hope. I couldn't wait to get to it. Could you tell that to people? If they ask you a reason for the hope that is in you, what's your hope of heaven? This is what I ask everybody. This is what I ask. What's your hope of eternal life? What's your hope? You hope to get to heaven? You say you believe God. You're a Christian. And what is your hope? That's what I ask them. If you were asked that, what would you say? I'm going to save that for a minute, okay? Let's go back to this. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, and our Lord said, every one of God's people will. You can't. If you don't, you're being silent. Look at Matthew 5 with me. And our Lord said this. And He said, a man's enemies will be those of his own house. And many, if not most of you in here, know what that means, don't you? Some of you are nodding your heads. You know that. Brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, husbands, wives that don't believe this. But you do. And you stand for it. Now, our Lord said this in Matthew 5, verse 9. Now, He said, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. We're not troublemakers. We're peacemakers. But remember Elijah? Remember Ahab said of Elijah, he troubles Israel. He troubles Israel. And Elijah said, I'm not troubling Israel. Israel's in trouble. Because of idolatry. Because of false religion. He said, I'm trying to tell them the truth to get them out of trouble. And Paul said this, and we're going to look at it in a minute. Paul said, I suffer trouble as an evildoer for telling the truth. He said, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer that persecution. And one time he said, am I become your enemy for telling you the truth? No. The natural man is enmity against the truth. Look at that. Matthew 5, our Lord said in verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. But we don't cry peace, peace when there is no peace, do we? We're not going to comfort somebody in a false profession. No, no. We dare not say peace to somebody where God has not spoken peace. We dare not say peace to somebody who doesn't have peace but by one way. What's that? What's one peace? How do we make peace with God? One way. By the blood of His cross. How many times do you hear it said, these preachers go to a dying bed of somebody and say of some fellow or woman, they made their peace with God? How many times? Buddy, you stand at the dying bed of a believer and you know what they'll say about peace with God? They'll say, Christ made my peace with God. You mark the end of that man. The end of that man is peace. Why? Because he has peace with God one way. And this is a good conscience. And boy, am I really getting ahead of myself. This is a good conscience. But it's all right. Just can't wait. Verse 10. Blessed are they. Blessed. Happy. This is where Peter got this. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Whose righteousness? His. That's what David wrote in Psalm 71, didn't he? All the way through there. Those of you who know it. He said, I'll make mention of thy righteousness and thine only. Oh, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. His righteousness. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And that's what they do to us. And make up things. Rejoice, he said. Rejoice. Be exceeding glad. It's hard to rejoice in under persecution and people calling you false, saying false things about you and making up lies about you and bearing false witness against you. That's hard to endure. And our Lord said, rejoice. They did that to me. They did it to me. Be exceeding glad. Look at Matthew 10. Matthew 10. Our Lord said this not only to His apostles, but to all who are His disciples. Look at this. Matthew 10:25-24. Are you His disciple? Are you a disciple? Sure you are. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, the servant as his Lord. If they call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore. There's nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Our Lord's going to reveal all this religious hypocrisy someday. What I tell you, verse 27, in darkness, speak in the light. What you hear in the ear, preach upon the housetop. Fear not them that kill the body, they're not able to kill the soul. Rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Go on down to verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. I am come to set a man at variance, at odds, against his father. And the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross, that's persecution for the truth, for Christ, and followeth after me, is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Oh, my. Now, as I said, Peter is not writing this to discourage us, but to rather encourage us. The word courage is found in that word, in encourage, give courage. Do you need courage? We lack courage. So this is written not to discourage us, but to encourage us, to embolden us, to give us strength. And Peter wrote over in the last chapter of this book, this first epistle, he said, after you've suffered a while, the Lord going to make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So he says in verse 14 of our text, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, for the cause of Christ, the cause of God and truth, happy are you. Blessed. Blessed are you. Look at chapter 4. Look at verse 14. Chapter 4, verse 14. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he's evil spoken of. On your part, he's glorified. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, now people, that means a whole lot more than just living a moral life. A Christian means a disciple of and a confessor of and one who testifies of the Christ. A witness for him. Don't be ashamed. Let him glorify God on this behalf. Look quickly at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul went to this town of Thessalonica and to preach the gospel. And the people, the Lord blessed his preaching. And oh my, did the Jews ever raise a ruckus. There was a riot. And Paul barely got out of town. But the people, they suffered. The people at Thessalonica suffered greatly, persecution. And Paul wrote them back, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. He said, we're bound, verse 2, grace unto you and peace. Verse 3, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, it's fitting, because your faith groweth exceedingly. The charity and love of every one of you all toward each other abounded. That's what Peter's been exhorting us to, isn't it? So we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. This is a manifest, a clear token, an evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you're one of God's people. Like our Lord said, all that every disciple is like his Lord will be hated for the truth. That you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. It's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation of them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. Rest with us. Look at, very quickly, 2 Timothy. Now, Paul told us in Philippians 1, he said this. He said, it's not only given to us on the behalf of Christ to believe. He said, this is a gift to believe, but it's given. It's a gift to suffer. He said, to have the same conflict you see in me. Paul was in prison when he wrote that. And he said, you're going to suffer the same persecution if you speak out. 2 Timothy, and this is to encourage us. Paul was writing to a young man named Timothy who was obviously very, very timid, very shy, maybe a little fearful. Okay? And he said in chapter 1, 2 Timothy 1, he said, verse 7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power of love, of sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. What gospel, Paul? The gospel of God who hath saved us. God who hath called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace given us in Christ before the world began. Be a partaker of afflictions. Tell it. Look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 9, Paul said, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. Now, verse 12, though, he says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he'll deny us. Isn't that what the Lord said to us in Matthew 5? Matthew 10. Chapter 3, look at chapter 3, verse 12. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So there you have it. So back in our text, he says, if, like he said in verse 17, if it's the will of God, it may not be the will of God for us in our generation to suffer any real physical or dangerous bodily harm or persecution for the gospel's sake. But it might. But it may not. He says, if it's the will of God, fine. I think it would just be wonderful. I feel so ashamed. I'd love to be able to lay my life down for him. Wouldn't you? There was a man named Thomas Cranmer. Thomas Cranmer, who was a preacher of the gospel. And back when there was great persecution of the church, people being killed, burned at the stake, several of his friends, his preacher. And they came to him and threatened his life, and he recanted. He agreed that he would not preach it anymore. And they made him sign a confession that he would not preach the truth anymore. And he signed that. And it killed him. And later on, it slew him so badly. His conscience smote him so badly that he recanted his recantation. He told them, I can't do this. So they tied him at the stake. Tied his body up at the stake. And he's preaching from that stake. He said, don't tie my hand up, my right hand. Don't tie it up. Leave it free, please. Because he said, I want to put this hand in the fire. This hand that signed that document. I want it to burn. This hand is an offense to me, and I want it to burn first. And he was preaching the gospel the whole time he was being burned. He put that hand in that fire, and it just shriveled up and burned. And all the witnesses say he never uttered a peep, never uttered a cry for preaching the truth. I have a great cloud of witnesses like that. Take great grace, wouldn't it? Same grace, same God, same truth, God of all grace. I'll give you grace. His grace is sufficient. If you suffer, old Thomas Cranmer counted it a great honor and a privilege that he could recant his recantation, that he could put his hand in that fire. Happy are you. Don't be afraid of their terror. Verse 14, be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Verse 15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. What's that mean? Well, with the heart, man believes, not the head. You will not confess what you just believe in your head. You won't lay down your life for what you believe in your head. But if you believe it in your heart, you will. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Remember, Peter said, I can't help but speak the things we've seen and heard. They said, don't speak in this name again. He said, I can't. I've got to. That's my Lord. That's my Savior. That's my God. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Sanctify means to hallow. I had so many scriptures I wanted to turn to. You know, the word sanctify means set apart. You know, the gospel we believe, the God we confess, is different than the God of this world. And when we tell it, like when Paul went to Athens, they said to him, what strange God you believe. Nobody believes this God like you all believe down there. Strange doctrine, strange God. Our God is set apart, is different. Let me just read this to you. You can go with me. Psalm. You can turn anywhere. You can put your finger down and find a place where it sanctifies God, sets the God of the Bible apart from the God of this world. Psalm 90, wherever. 90, let's see, 93. 93, yeah. So, the Lord reigneth. He's clothed with majesty. He's clothed with strength. The Lord reigneth. The world is established, cannot be moved. His throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting, everlasting. Thou art God. Psalm 94. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth. Show thyself. Lift up thyself. Thou judge of the earth. Render reward to the proud. Look at down at verse Psalm 95. Verse 2, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise unto Him with song. The Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His. The sea is His. He made it. His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. He is our God. Psalm 99, look at this. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. Verse 2, the Lord is great in Zion. He's high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it's holy. Verse 5, exalt the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Verse 9, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. How is our God set apart from the God of this world? How is our God set apart from the God that men preach, the false God today? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. That's where you start. You know that, don't you? What's the beginning of wisdom? The fear of God. Why do we fear God? Because God is holy. That's not being said today. People don't know that God today. You know Him in your heart. You know that He's holy. You fear. David said, unite my heart to fear thy name. You fear to even use His name. Except in reverence and respect, don't you? You've sanctified the God in your own heart. You know who He is. You know how He is. You know how He saves sinners. You know salvation's of the Lord. Well, let me go on. This is our hope. Verse 15, he says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Out of the heart of the issues of life, and with the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, and you will. The first thing you say about God tells others what you believe about God and whether or not you know God. What is God like? If you ask every believer, every true saint, they will tell you, the first thing they will tell you, he's holy. Our children know that, don't you? All right? You know that, don't you? That's, and you know why Christ had to come. Because God's holy. Verse 15. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, you know, everyone is not going to ask you. All right. Years ago, I said this, that give them an answer when they ask you. Well, you very seldom ask, are you? People are not asking anymore. I don't care. So what are we to do? Not wait on them to ask? No. But if they do, be ready. But we need to be looking for opportunities to tell the truth. Huh? Why? Why is Peter telling us to confess our Lord? Why are we told that? Why is our Lord telling us to confess? Why should we confess Him? So we can be proud of the fact that we do? Oh, no. But for the glory of God. And because of what He did for us. Huh? Out of love and gratitude to Him. And you want people to know Him. People are dying. People that don't know this truth are perishing. If you love them, if you really love their soul, you'll tell them the truth. Because if they don't believe this, they're lost. And if you have it, if you have the truth, you've got to tell them. That's why. Not so we can be proud of our confession. Oh, no. But be ready to give every man a reason of the hope that is in you. What is our hope? What is your hope? Could you give a passage of Scripture that tells your hope? Could you? You know, that's why these old songs are so good, you know, because it's a shame if we can't give a passage of Scripture. But if you can't, we just sung a song that you know by heart. Here's what you could tell. If you can't remember it, just start singing it to somebody. My hope is built on nothing less. This is the gospel. My hope is built. My hope of heaven, my hope of salvation is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ's blood and His righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on the Lord Jesus Christ's name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground. Who are you trusting, brother? Your works, your church, your profession, your baptism, or that's a sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. You could witness on that, couldn't you? Huh? Listen to this. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me. That's my hope of heaven and the overwhelming flood, the flood of my sins, the flood of... When all around my soul gives way, He is all my hope and stay. Yes, on Christ the solid. Could you witness with that song? Could you tell somebody? Huh? Oh, when He comes with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found. Could you preach from that? Like Noah. May I be found in Christ like Noah. Only those in Christ are going to be saved in that day, like in that ark. Brother, do you know what that ark means? Brother in Adam. No, I don't. Well, let me tell you. That ark is Christ. Could you not preach from that? Dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Could you preach from that? On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Yes, all other ground is sinking sand. That's my hope. Is that your hope? He's all my hope and stay. Sure you could. That's why we keep singing these songs. And do it, he says, with meekness and fear. Verse 15, this is important, with meekness. You ever run across these soul winners that beat you over the head, you know, that just get so proud and arrogant? Huh? Have you run across them? Are you saved, brother? You've seen them. Oh, are you saved, brother? Well, I am. You ain't nothing but a self-righteous hypocrite. You're just proud of yourself. You're not proud of the Lord. You're not boasting in His righteousness. You're not boasting in His Word. You're not boasting in the cross of Christ. You're boasting in your boast, in your profession of faith. You've run across them, haven't you? Don't do that with meekness. Meekness is not weakness. You can be bold as a lion. Moses went in before Pharaoh. And boldness and dogmatism and being as bold as a lion doesn't mean you don't love. My father-in-law was one of the best He was one of the greatest witnesses I've ever known. He brought more people to hear the gospel than anybody I know. Everybody that worked for him. Everybody that worked for him came to hear the gospel. Isn't that right? Everybody. And he was a gruff, he had a bold voice. When he whispered, it was like this. And when he talked to you in a normal voice, it was loud. But he was so passionate for the truth. And he wanted people to believe it so much that he just talked like it. And he wasn't mad at you. He wasn't angry. If he didn't love you and wasn't concerned for you, he wouldn't be talking to you. But it's urgent. It's urgent. If you really believe it, be passionate about it. Right? You know, meekness is not weakness, but it's humility. It's considering your own self. It's also being conscious of that person before you. Paul was so compassionate toward the Pharisees because he was one. Paul was so understanding and long-suffering with the Pharisees because he was one. And after they'd beaten him and hated him, wanted him dead, he'd stop and say, "Look, he'd call them brothers. I want to be like that, don't you?" Paul, he wrote Romans 9, and there's not a more powerful passage of Scripture in all the Bible, not a clearer passage, and one that men hate. People hate Romans 9. How's it start? He said, "I say the truth in Christ. My conscience bear me witness. I lie not, lie not. I can wish myself a curse for my brethren, but I'm not going to compromise the truth. I'm not going to cut the corner. I'm not going to pare it down. I'm going to tell you the truth. Jacob has he loved. Esau has he hated. It's not of him that willeth, for him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Therefore he hath mercy on whom he will, whom he will he hardeneth." What do you say to these things? I'm quoting Romans 9. "Shall the potter of clay say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus? He hath no hands." But he started that out in meekness and in love and concern. I said, "I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. But I'm not going to compromise the truth, and I'm going to say it as boldly as I know how. If they don't believe it, they're going to go to hell." Right? And fear. Do it with meekness and fear. Fear being fearing God. Fearing that arrogance and that pride. Fearing a mean spirit. But fearing not to tell the truth. Fearing not telling the truth. And verse 16, I close. It says, having a good conscience. A good conscience. Of which we'll speak more about that later on down in verse 21. A good conscience. But Paul one time, he said this several times. He said, "You fully know my doctrine." He didn't keep it secret. Everybody knew what he could do. He said, "My manner, my method, my way of life, my motive, my purpose, didn't it?" He said to the Corinthians, he said, "We're not as many which corrupt the word of God or deal deceitfully. But as of God, in the sight of God, and in sincerity, we preach Christ." Paul said, "You know good and well we're not corrupt. We're not doing this for money. We're not doing it for fame. We're not doing it for anything, any reason, but for the glory of God and the salvation of souls." He said, "You know that." That's a good conscience. That's a good conscience. I got a good conscience. Good conscience. And they'll speak evil of you as evildoers. That's what Paul said, and Peter. They were all killed. All of them. Peter was crucified. Paul was beheaded. All of them. All of them. His most lovely men that ever walked the planet, because they looked like Christ. Meek, gentle, peacemakers, but bold as lions, of whom the world is not worthy. Oh, John. My name's Paul, your name's John. May God give us the grace. to be a Paul and a John. Huh?
John.
Thomas. Got good names, don't we? Deborah. Biblical name. Mary. Harry. Oh, may the Dan. My, my. May the Lord give us grace. Grace. All right. Stand with me. Our Father in heaven, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive us. We are poor witnesses. We're poor testimony. We have denied thee as Peter or worse. Lord, forgive us, we pray. And Lord, through thy word and by thy grace, make us, give us boldness, encourage us, we pray. But these things have to be settled in our hearts. You have to be just sanctified in our heart. Oh Lord, may our affection be set on thee more than our own blood kin. May we love thee and thy glory and thy truth and thy Son more than ourselves, more than our own lives, willing to lay down our lives. Oh Lord, help us, we pray. Help us, we pray. May we do it for thy glory and honor, for him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. My, my. Oh Lord, help us, we pray. Forgive us, help us, establish, strengthen, settle us, encourage us, we pray, embolden us. Let us exhort one another so much more as we see the day approaching. Oh Lord, make this church, every member of it, a witness of thy great grace and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.